Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to the Bible Strong Lesson. So let's get right into the lesson today. I'm going to be reading from Romans chapter 2 and chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 12 in chapter 2, and then I'm going to chapter 3, beginning at verse 21. In chapter 2, in verse 12, the Bible says, "For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law." And then we flip over to chapter 3, go down to verse 21. The writer says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Where is the boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? By what works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the works of the law." Simply put, the cost of your sin is more than you can pay. The gift of God is more than you can imagine. A person is right with God, justified through faith. Paul explained that it's not through obeying the law. This may well be the most difficult spiritual truth for us to embrace. For some reason, people accept Jesus as Lord before they accept Him as Savior. It's easier to comprehend His power than His mercy. We celebrate the empty tomb long before we kneel at the cross. We, like Thomas, would die for Christ before we would let Him die for us. We are not alone. We are not the first to struggle with Paul's presentation of grace. The first ones to doubt this was the first ones that read it. In fact, you get the impression that Paul can hear their questions. The apostle lifts up his pen from the page and imagining his readers, some doubting, some denying, and anticipating their thoughts, he deals with their objections. Objection number one, grace is too risky to be true. "Do we destroy the law by following faith?" they would ask. Paul's answer was, "God forbid. Faith and grace fulfills the law." The concern here is motivation. If I'm not saved by my works, then why work? If I'm not saved by the law, then why keep the law? If I'm not saved by what I do, then why do anything? You've got to admit, grace is risky. There is the chance that people will take it to the extreme. There is the possibility that people will abuse God's grace. This is the question of the charismatic. What is to keep us from going wild? If worshiping doesn't save us, why worship? If tithing doesn't save us, why tithe? If morality doesn't save us, then why be moral? Jude warns of this attitude when he speaks of people who abuse his grace as an opportunity for immorality. When he spoke of those who turn the grace of God into lasciviousness to do all workings of evil, Paul later will encounter his critics with the question, "So do you think that we should continue sinning so that God will give us even more grace?" Heaven forbid. What a blasphemous thought. Grace promoting evil? Mercy endorsing sin? What a terrible idea. God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. Someone who sees grace as permission to sin has missed grace entirely. Mercy understood is holiness desired. Jesus gave himself for us so that he might pay the price to free us from all evil and to make us pure. Grace fosters an eagerness for good. Grace doesn't spawn a desire to sin. If one has truly embraced God's gift, he will not mock it. If a person uses God's mercy as liberty to sin, one might wonder whether the person ever knew God's mercy at all. Faith causes us to be what the law truly wants. The second objection to grace comes from a man who is cautious of anything new. "Don't give me any of that newfangled preaching and teaching. Just give me the law. It was good enough for Abraham. It's good enough for me." Okay, let me tell you about your father Abraham. Paul says, if Abraham was made right by the things he did, he had reason to brag. But this is not God's view, because the scripture says, Abraham believed God, and God accepted Abraham's faith, and that faith was imputed to him as righteousness. These words must have stung the Jews. Paul points to Abraham as a prototype of grace. The Jews upheld Abraham as a man who was blessed because of his obedience. But that's not the case, argued Paul. The first book in the Bible says that Abraham believed the Lord, and he accounted it to him as righteousness. It was his faith, not his works, that made him right with God. Abraham was far from perfect. There were times when he trusted the Egyptians before he trusted God. He even lied, telling Pharaoh that his wife was his sister. But Abraham made one decision that changed his eternal life. He trusted God. Here is a man justified by faith before his circumcision, before Moses and the Ten Commandments. Here is a man justified by faith before the cross. This is where we discover that the sin-covering blood of Calvary extends as far into the past as it does into the future. Abraham is not the only Old Testament hero to cast himself upon God's grace and mercy. David said the same thing. Listen to Paul as he reminds those people in Rome, even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." We are saved by grace and not of works, lest any man should boast.